Proverbs chapter 27. Amen. I've got them. Don't forget now, we're having a work day tomorrow evening over at the new church. Come and be a part of it. Amen. Amen. How's that, brother? Now turn it down a little bit. Proverbs chapter 27. I want you to look at a verse of scripture here this morning. Don't miss tonight now. This is the summer evening place to be, right here. And our Sunday night services are we have people drive from way down in Lincolnton and way down there to come here on Sunday night. We sure do, almost every Sunday night, because of what they get here in our church. So sometimes you don't realize if you get it all the time. And so let's be here tonight, bring somebody with you. Now let's look at this verse of scripture here in Proverbs 27, verse 1. Everybody listen now. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That verse simply says, don't be bragging about what you're going to do or not going to do tomorrow, because you don't know what a day may bring forth. I want to preach this morning on the subject procrastination, the devil's best trick. Procrastination, that's a big word that means putting off doing something that you know you ought to do. So this morning, I want to talk about that. And as they asked Alexander the Great one time, you know, he conquered the known world at 32 or 33. And they said, how did you conquer the whole world at such a young age? His answer was, by not delaying. I just went ahead and done it. The definition of procrastinating is putting off what you know you should do, thinking the right time has not come. Now, the Bible is full of warnings. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible is filled with warnings. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, the Bible says, behold, now is accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you're not saved here this morning, you know when you ought to get saved? This morning. Not next Sunday, not next month, not next week. The biggest trick the devil can pull on you is making you think, yeah, he's right, you need to get saved, but not today. You ought to do it today. Teenagers, you ought to do it today. Mamas, young people, visitors, you ought to get right with God today. Today, in this service, before you leave this place this morning. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says it. Isaiah 55 verse 6 said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. James 4:14 says, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And then, of course, the great verse here in Proverbs 27, don't be bragging about tomorrow because you don't know what a day may bring forth. I want to say three things about procrastination this morning. And the first thing I want to say is, it's common to human nature. There's something in us that wants to put off doing what we don't want to do. We think, well, if I wait till tomorrow, I'll feel more like doing it. If I wait till next week, I'll feel more like doing it. But the truth is, the longer you put something off, the more you dread doing it. It started out in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God. Right there, they're talking about Sunday school. When Eve ate the fruit, she gave her husband, he did eat. They both sinned against God. And immediately, do you know what Adam and Eve did? First thing when they sinned, they went and hid. Because they knew God was going to come walking down through that. They was going to talk like they did every day. And they said, Lord, I dread seeing him. Man, I dread seeing God. So they hid behind the bush. Now, you know that Adam and Eve knew that God was going to get them. You knew that Adam and Eve knew they was eventually going to have to face him. But they said, Lord, I don't want to do it today. I just want to hide myself. Maybe if we wait till tomorrow, we'll feel better. Maybe if we give it a week or two, we'll feel more like talking to Him. But you don't. You don't feel a bit more like it tomorrow than you do today. You know when you need to get saved? You need to get saved this morning. Right now, in this service today, it's common for human nature. We're all like that. You know, some of you men sitting here, your wife has been fussing at you for months. Honey, when are you going to fix up that faucet that's leaking in the bath? I'm going to. When are you going to get that gutter fixed? I'm going to. And you mean it when you say it. But you know, you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. It's like going to the dentist. Everybody hates going to the dentist. And you think, well, I know I need to. Well, it's hurting, but maybe I'll wait another week or two. Maybe it'll quit. I mean, that cavity ain't going to get better. By itself, it's going to get worse. You'll pour goody powder on it or something. And you try to make it feel better. And it might for a while, but you just dread it. And it just, I'm like that with filling my taxes out. April the 14th will pass. I mean, before I dread that. I hate doing that. I dread it. I put it off and put it off and put it off. It's common for us to put off something that we dread doing. Like going to the doctor, going to this. And it's like that with salvation. There are thousands of people in Burke County who have every intention of going to heaven when they die. But yet they're still not saved, and they say they're not ready. As a matter of fact, nobody plans on going to hell, very few, and most people plan on getting saved and going to heaven. I guarantee everybody in here this morning, you think, I have plans of being saved. I'm going to get saved sometime, but your problem is this morning, you're putting it off. They said there's a procrastinators club now. The procrastinators club in America. You can join it. They always have a yearly meeting, and it's always a week late from the date they announce it on. They say they have about 80 members, and if you pay your dues on time, they kick you out. And their motto is, anything worth doing is worth putting off. They are the procrastinators club of America. I'm telling you, that's common to our nature. But they say that Mount Pelee, that volcano erupted at 8:02 one morning in 1902, and 30,000 people lost their lives. One of the worst natural disasters in the history of the world was when Mount Pelee erupted. 30,000 people died. But the sad part of the story is they had been warned for a solid week that it was going to blow up, and they didn't listen. Somebody said, it's going to blow. And they said, well, it didn't blow yesterday. Didn't blow today. I look around, none of my neighbors ain't scared. I don't see anybody moving out. I'm not moving out. And 30,000 people died because they didn't listen to the warning and move out. Let me tell you something. The Lord says, you're going to die. So I feel fine. Lord said, you're going to die. You look around and say, everybody seems healthy. Sun's shining outside. My bills are paid. But I'm telling you, the day's going to come. And you're going to put it up one day too many, and you'll die without God. It's coming to human nature. I'm going to give you, secondly this morning, some reasons people give for not being saved, for procrastinating. Some of them say, my situation. I talk to people. They say, preacher, you just don't know my situation. I said, well, tell me. I don't know. Tell me. What is your situation? They say, look, I can't get saved. I say, why not? They say, well, you just don't understand. I'm living with somebody, and we're not married. I know it's wrong. I know we shouldn't be, but we're living together, and I love this person, and I don't want to leave them. And I've had lots of people tell me that. You know what I tell them? I always tell them this. I say, they ain't nobody worth going to hell for. Nobody. I don't care how much you love them. Nobody's worth going to hell for. One guy told me. He said, well, me and her ain't married. I said, well, won't you get married? And they looked at us like, we never thought of that. I said, well, yeah, you can. And they got married, got saved, joined the church. Somebody said, well, I just ain't ready. I just ain't ready yet. Like my situation. You just don't know. I can't live right. And we talked to a man up there in West Virginia. I did. Some of our guys did. Went up there. And they went and witnessed this old hill guy way up in the mountains. This honest truth. They, some of our boys went up there to witness to him. They said, man, why don't you get saved? He said, I can't get saved. And they said, why? He said, because I'm going to go over there and shoot my neighbor. He said, my leg all bummed up here where he hit me. He said, as soon as I get well, I'm going to go over and kill him. He said, after that, I'll get saved. That's honestly what he said. And buddy, his dog got in his corn patch or something. He shot the dog, and then he ran over his mailbox, and then he tried to run over him. That's Kentucky, brother. That's West Virginia. And boy, he tried to kill him, and he ran over him like that and bummed up his leg. And he said, I'm going to go kill him when I get better. Now, you know, that's extreme, but there's a lot of people this morning that say, I can't get saved because of the situation that I'm in. When I get things worked out in my life, then I'm going to get saved. That's a major mistake, brother. That's a big mistake. You don't know when that heart's going to quit ticking. You don't know when God says, that's your last day. You don't know when he's going to pull the plug. It's a dangerous thing to say, it's not my time. Amen? Listen, you'll never get much of anything done until you go ahead and do it before you're ready. You'll never get much of anything done. I noticed some of them guys that come to work at the church. We have all kinds of contractors and workers over there. Any of you men who have workers, you got some guys. I used to know a fellow named Mr. Powell, but James Powell, he's still alive. And he would show up at 6 o'clock in the morning before daylight sawing wood. He'd fly right into work. Now, anybody that's got employees knows that some of them guys, they'll come around and stand around in the office and stand around in the shop and drink coffee. I couldn't stand to see them get over at the church and stand around and talk and drink coffee. I said, we're not paying y'all to stand around and drink coffee. Do something. They said, well, we're going to start here in a minute. We're going to start here in a minute. They'll waste 30 minutes standing around talking. We're going to get started. Most of what you get done, you do before you're ready to do it. You get in there and just go to work. You just get after it, brother. And that's the way you're getting saved. I've heard people tell me, once you get saved, I'm not ready. Once you get saved, I'm not ready. You know what you better do? You better go ahead and get saved before you're ready. Because the Lord might be ready, and you get ready real fast. You knew you was going to die in 15 minutes. But you don't. It don't matter if you're ready or not. God's ready. Come on down here and get saved. You go to heaven when you die. Hey, people! Listen to me, kids. You do know there's a hell, don't you? You're going to burn in hell if you're not saved. If you don't get saved, you'll burn in hell. You'll scream for a drop of water. It ain't been air conditioned. There is no way out. You never get out. You hear me? Get saved this morning. It don't matter how you feel. Come to God, get saved. Amen. Somebody said, well, it ain't my time. It is your time.
Yeah.
It's your time. The devil told you that. You know what man told me one time? He said, well, God ain't spoke to me. I'm going to say, listen to me, buddy. God's speaking to you right now. He's speaking to you right now. You know how God speaks? Speaks through his word. And his word said, seek ye the Lord while it may be found. Call upon him while he's near. That means one day he won't be found. That means one day he won't be near. Listen, it says, you know not what tomorrow bring. Seek ye the Lord today. Behold, now is accepted time. You want God to talk to you? All right, God's getting ready to talk to you. Right from that word. Today is the day of salvation. I've heard people say, well, God ain't dealing with me today. And they almost give you the impression that God wants me to be saved one of these days, but God don't want me to get saved today. Preachers even preach that stuff. I know preachers that say, well, if God ain't dealing with you, there ain't no hope. Let me tell you something, you retarded thing. Read your Bible. It's blasphemy for me to say God don't want nobody to get saved. Today. You crack. Somebody crack me if I'm wrong. You believe God wants everybody in the world to get saved, yes or no? Next month? No. It ain't God's will that from my lips. One more day in sin. One more minute in sin. God wants everybody in the world to get saved this morning. That's blasphemy. blasphemy to say, well, the Lord, not, he don't want me to get saved. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The problem's with you. It ain't with him. It ain't with his Holy Spirit. It ain't with his growing power. The problem's with it. Listen, if God wasn't dealing with you, you wouldn't even be here this morning. There's something down inside you that made you want to come to church this morning. And brother, it ain't the devil. Amen? You say, what about that verse said, if I be lifted up, I'll go up. Read the next verse. This he spake concerning the death he'd die on the cross. That's talking about when Jesus lifted up on the cross one time only, he'd draw everybody to him. It's his will that you get saved. It's God's will that you get saved this morning. I don't care how you think, what the devil said, what your ten folks told you. There's a woman told me one time. She said, Brother Danny, she said, I think I'm damned to hell. I said, why? She said, because my family told me. She said, my husband ran off and left me. She said, I met another man. Me and him got divorced. He and him got married. She said, my family told me I could never go to heaven as long as I was living with that second husband. She said, I'm damned for hell. I said, listen, sister, the devil told you a lie. I know your family, I'm not being disrespectful, but your family lied to you. I said, God wants you to be saved. They said, Jesus saved a woman at the well. I've been married 5 times, and the Lord washed her sins away. I'm telling you this morning, it's the devil that tells you it's not your time. It's the devil that tells you you can't be saved. It's the devil that tells you not today. God wants you to get saved this morning, today, right now, while I'm preaching. That's wrong. It's crazy to put it off. Crazy to put it off. Somebody said this. They said, well, I have to work on Sunday. You want that day you die? You won't have to work?
Good preaching, brother.
You won't show up for it that day. You say, preacher, I have to work. That ain't got nothing to do with getting saved. You can get saved on your job on Sunday morning or Sunday evening. I'm going to tell you something better. It's just, you're putting it off. You're putting it off. You're putting it off. Somebody said, well, I'm making a lot of money right now, and I've got all this job thing, and I'm making a lot of money, and whenever I get my bills paid and caught up, then I'm going to come to church and get saved. No, you won't. It'll be something else then. I heard about a ship that was going down one time, and the lifeboats were all taken off, and everybody's getting on the lifeboats, and they said, hurry, hurry. And suddenly the captain, he got to thinking. And he thought, well, I've got some treasure down there. You know, I have a little captain's office down in the bottom of them ships. And he went back down to get his treasure, and he reached underneath that and get it under the bed, and he grabbed his treasure. And when he come up, all the lifeboats were gone, and the ship went down, him, treasure and all. Now, there's a lot of people, you're saying, but I want to do this first. But I want to do this first. And you're hanging on to whatever it is that's keeping you from getting saved. It might be smoking pot. It might be some other sin. It might be alcohol. It might be a relationship you're in. And you think, I just can't get saved as long as I'm doing it. You're holding on. You're going down with the ship. You better let go. You better come to God. And by the way, let me say this. You don't straighten out your life, then come to God. You come to Him, problems and all, and let Him. How many people, I don't know, have told me, well, I just don't need to come to church right now. There's a lot going on in my life. That's one of the dumbest things I've heard anybody say. Listen, you got a lot going on in your life. This is where you need to be. You got problems. This is where you need to be. You say, my life's a mess. Right here's where you ought to be. That's right. You're sick. There's the doctor. Amen. You got something bad wrong with you. Here's the medicine. Right here this morning, you got bills to pay. There's the money. Amen. Your eyes are blind. There's the open eyes. This is the answer. He is the answer. Don't make an excuse and not come to it. Number three. See how foolish it is to wait. I'm going to talk to you in closing this morning on how foolish it is to wait. You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. They said that Julius Caesar had a Senate meeting. And I read this story, and they said on the 15th of March, his wife had a dream and wrote him a note and said, don't go. Don't go. I've had a terrible dream. Somebody ran on and gave him the message. And they put it like that and they said, your wife said, read this immediately. It's important. And he put it in his pocket and went on to the meeting. And he didn't read it. And the empire was destroyed because he didn't get that message or didn't read it in time. You know what I've heard of people doing? I heard about somebody moved, went to the Philippines somewhere, and they got an inheritance and got like millions of dollars, inherited it. And they couldn't find them because they moved to the Philippines. And they only held it so long, and by the time they come back, made a claim on it, it's too late. And they lost it. God's got something like that for you this morning. He has blessings. He has glory. He'll write your name in His book. He'll take you to heaven, a glorious place when you die. You'll miss hell. And you're just fooling around. Fooling around. Saying, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. I'll do it later. The steamship Central America was going from New York to San Francisco many, many years ago. They sprang a leak in mid-ocean. A vessel was sent for help. And they said, how the vessel was sent for help. People were screaming, let us get the passengers. Let us get the passengers. Somebody said, wait till morning when it's safer. They didn't wait till morning. In an hour and a half, the whole thing sunk to the bottom, passengers and all. Many years ago in Pennsylvania, you've heard of the great Johnstown flood, and the dam broke. And 3,700 people were drowned when the dam broke at Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And a man came on a horse a few weeks before and said, the dam's got a crack in it. Everybody needs to run. And people didn't listen to it. You know what's the problem this morning? Here's what the problem is. Your problem is, we've had Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you figure, hey, we're going to have a bunch more. That's your problem. If you knew this could be your last Sunday, we'd have the awfulest move of God in here we've ever seen. We don't know. I'm not trying to say it is, but I sure ain't going to say it ain't neither. Brother, your life is a vapor. It appears for a little while. You ever went out in the morning and seen the fog, and it's real foggy? You think, Lord, it's an awful foggy day. You can go brush your teeth, brother, and come back and the sun popped through. It's a vapor that appears a little while and then vanishes. That's the way your life is. You know, I look back at my life. I was thinking the other day, I thought, Lord, have mercy. Has it been 10 years since this? Has it been? I mean, the older you get, the more years go by. I remember when I was real young, somebody said, we're going to do something in 2 years. I thought, oh, Lord, 2 years. We'll never do. But now, 2 years, you know, we got plenty to do. 2 years, by quick. You just don't realize your life is a vapor. And older folks have told me, you look back and you don't even know where a lot of it went. It's gone as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Your only hope is to come to Jesus. I heard about one man tried to get another man saved. He wouldn't get saved. 9 days later, the man picked up the newspaper. That fellow's name was in the obituary. You don't know. A young lady went to a revival. She said, I'll get saved tomorrow night. She said, I'm going to a dance tonight. I'm going to a dance at school, and I don't want to get saved. I'll wait and go tomorrow night. But you know what? Her mother found her in her room the next evening, sitting in a corpse where she'd had a stroke and died without God and lost her soul because she put it off. One more day. One more day. D.L. Moody witnessed to some boys. And he witnessed these boys and said, you boys need to go to church and get saved. One of them said, I'll go. It wasn't long that night, somebody comes screaming. And his wife comes screaming. She said, honey, wake up. Them boys have been in a terrible accident. And he went, and there laid one of them boys looking up the ceiling screaming, oh God, oh God, oh God, don't let me die. And he died like that right there. Just the night before, he said, I'll get saved tomorrow, next day. I heard about a young lady. And this young lady had never been saved. And her mama always was on to her, honey, why don't you get saved? Why don't you get saved? And she kept saying, I'm not ready. She'd say, honey, why don't you get saved? She'd say, I'm not ready. She'd say, honey, why don't you get saved? It's today. She'd say, I'm not ready. So the lady goes to her pastor and she says, maybe you can talk to her. She said, nothing I say seems to faze her. Maybe you can say something. He said, all right, they arranged the time. The pastor come, sat down with the young lady. He opened his Bible. He began to talk to her. And she told him the same thing she'd been telling him. Not now, I'm not ready. So the pastor looked back and he said, all right, I'll accept that. You're not ready. He said, suppose I'm going to tell you that we're just not going to mention this to you for 1 year. I'll tell your mother, don't mention about being saved. Don't talk to her about getting saved for 1 year. And then we'll talk about it. Is that all right with you? She said, I don't know if I should take it. If that's right or not, I mean, I could die. That's a year is a long time. He said, okay, let's just not talk about it for 6 months. We won't even mention it for 6 months. She said, 6 months, something could happen. Jesus could come back. He said, well, what about a month? We won't talk about it for a month. She said, anything could happen in a month. And he went on down, you know, a week. And then she realized, you're crazy to put it off an hour. And they got down in the floor. And she gave her heart to Jesus. That girl got saved. Because, see, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, I'm going to one of these days. I'm going to one of these. But not today. Not today. The devil will tell you that tomorrow. And he'll tell you that the next day. And the next day. And the next day. That's procrastinating. That's putting off till tomorrow what you ought to do today. I'm going to say this and I'm through this morning. I guarantee you. I don't know any personally, but I guarantee it. There's people in hell screaming right now that sat in church last Sunday morning and said, I'm going to get saved sometime. I guarantee it. They put it off one time too many. Don't do that. If you're here this morning, let me make it just as easy for you as I can. If you walk out of that seat, get down here in this altar, somebody will take the Bible and they'll show you what you've got to do to get saved. Don't walk out these doors saying, I'm not ready. Okay? I stand by this for prayer. Nobody's talking. Nobody's moving. Nobody's leaving. They're getting a song ready. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. No talking. Christians are praying.